Now, one of the things we've been talking about is whether or not the Niners this year have actually earned the contender label. And do you buy in when someone says to the team, well, hold on, they haven't beat anybody? What does that mean to you? We can weave stink into that conversation. We go out to the River Islands guest line, joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stink and Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Hey, Stink, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. How would you answer that question? Have the Niners earned the contender label this year or not at 5-4?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting because I think everybody sits and says, hey, with Kyle Shanahan, with the talent that you have, especially on the offensive side of the football, you know, yada, 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 with the history that the 49ers have. Yeah, they've earned that over time. They've earned that contender label. And I think you look at some of the losses, look at some of the issues they've had with the injuries and everything else. You know, you can excuse them. I mean, you look at, you know, in your own division, you've lost to Arizona, you've lost to the Rams, so obviously that's not good. But the bottom line, you sit there and you're one game behind Arizona for first place. And the bottom line to me is you're probably the best team in that division. And, you know, if you get on a hot streak and you're getting healthy, and obviously you kind of cure what ails you in the red zone, and we keep thinking that Christian McCaffrey is going to do that for you, then all of a sudden I think you're one of the top, you know, four teams in the NFC. I mean, I would put Detroit number one, probably Philly number two, and then after that, I mean, San Francisco would be right in there. So I think that's kind of how I look at them.
Looking at the red zone issues so far to date, and I know just one game of McCaffrey, and they didn't really solve it in that 1 week, but do you think that he can be the fix for what ails them in that red area?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, one, just from a check down standpoint, what they can accomplish with him, the pressure he puts on a defensive coordinator, what you have to account for. And not only running the football, but with him being able to spread out, he and Debo being interchangeable pieces, you know, putting a lot of times what we call 21 pony, which is two tailbacks in a backfield as opposed to a tailback and a fullback. Like, it gives them so many different options, and he's so good out of the backfield. Obviously, he's a great running back. He's great, you know, in and out of, whether it's a wide type of play or whether it's between the tackles. He's great at all that stuff, but the passing game to me is where you have a decided advantage with Christian McCaffrey. And I just think I think those red zone issues, they've been one of the top red zone teams in football until this year. And I think those issues will eventually get solved here. And I think, I mean, obviously we nationally on talking on the shows that I do on Breakfast Ball and everything else, we've talked about the Debo Samuel, you know, Tabor Pepper dust up on the sideline and stuff. But I think a lot of that is the old frustration of how piss poor you guys have been in the red zone and haven't been able to accomplish things. And I think some of that just explodes over, when your field goal kicker's missing field goals. And a lot of that anger is probably, is actually your lack of production in the red zone. So I think all those things will iron themselves out over time.
Stink, since you brought it up, I think our audience would love to know what your take was on the Debo Samuel Tabor Pepper dust up.
Yeah, you know what? Ultimately, like, you never want that to happen. That it's not a good thing. But ultimately, you'll deal with it. Like, Kyle was a part of, the Broncos. He's probably 12, 13, 14 years old. When we had a situation where we went to San Francisco, now it wasn't, it wasn't teammate on teammate crime, but where, Romanowski's bitten J.J. Stokes' face. And that's the 1997 game. And that ripped us up in the locker room a little bit, man. There was a lot of racial tension. There was a lot of tension about that particular play. Mike Shanahan called us into a team meeting. We sat down in that team meeting. A couple of guys aired their grievances with Romo. Romo stood up and apologized like a man and said, hey, man, it just was one of those heat of the moment things. And, what I did was wrong. And like, he accepted that responsibility. And after that, we moved on. And, I think people would be surprised it's a bunch of alpha dudes, that play professional football. Huh. And some of the fights that go on during the course of a week, and you get into it's part of the program, so to speak. And you don't want it to happen, but occasionally it happens. And I think it's happened to every one of us where we've gotten in the dust up. It just hasn't been on film. So, you know, it's we used to have a rule when I played in Denver, and, you know, we'd be doing one-on-ones or whatever the case may be, and you know, the backups would be in, and we'd be kind of standing around the water jug, you know, getting water and watching one-on-ones. And if a fight breaks out in practice, the guys upstairs or the guys that the film guys are told to cut tape off, right? Because they don't want that getting out. So they cut the tape off. But it takes a minute to, you know, to realize, oh, it's a fight. So we had a rule, if a fight breaks out and you didn't get in the film frame before the film guys cut it out, and if you weren't throwing fists when that happened, like, you're getting fined, and it's a significant fine. Like, you damn well better get in there and you know, punch one of the defensive guys. And that was that's a rule. That was a rule on our football team. And so it doesn't necessarily, like, those things, I think, for the general public are, like, earth-shattering, like, oh, my God, there's got to be real problems there. But I think in the overall scheme of things, the football team, you talk about it, you discuss it, people apologize, and you move on. And I don't think it's really that big a deal.
Is part of what squashes this the notion that kickers they're a necessary evil on a football team, but are they seen as maybe second-class citizens in the locker room?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, they're...
oh, yeah.
Part of it's jealousy. Like, you're over there, you're playing and you're busting your ass and you're practicing, and especially in training camp, you know, and you're beat up and your hands hurt and, you know, everything else. And they're over there playing kicking games. You know, they're going, let's see who can kick it closest to the end line, you know, and they don't do anything, you know. So it drives you crazy. I used to call them campus leavers all the time. You guys are can't. You come in for your morning meeting, then you go have lunch somewhere off campus. Like, nobody else gets to leave campus. You guys are campus leavers. Yeah, it's jealousy. It's pure jealousy. You don't beat the snot out of one another. And in my day, the deep snapper had a practice. Like, he had to play another position. Now the deep snapper is a specialist, so they don't do anything but deep snap. So the three of them, the punter, the deep snapper, the kicker, are all lollygag around and play around and goof around. They're playing kicking games, and they're over in the corner doing whatever it is they do. And sometimes you look over there and you're having a tough day at practice and you go, look at those SOBs just having fun. Like, there's a jealousy to it that you're just like, I can't stand those guys. And you don't really hate them or anything, but you don't necessarily want to pick out curtains with them.
Well,
either.
Until he misses three field goals, yeah. And then maybe the blood starts to boil, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, you're supposed to hit those. And, you know, I'm sure they get along fine with the kicker and everything else. But I think a lot of that is their own issues, their own, you know, lack of production in the red zone. And some of those, you know, some of those frustrations boil over.
You know what, Mark? And Mark Slareth is our guest here on Willard and Dibbs. You know what's funny about that? Like, I totally get everything that you said, and I really appreciate how honest you were in answering that. At the same time, you know this because you've been on both sides. There's this rub through the years between players and the media, because players will kind of get to the point of listening to media talk about something and going, dude, you can't do what we do. You cannot do what we do. And I sort of thought about this in this dust-up, because it's like, can't the kickers, I get the jealousy, but can't the kickers say that too? It's like, you can out us all you want, but hey, Debo, you need us. You can't do what we do.
Yeah, but the issue is you don't do anything until it comes to that point, so make it. That's the issue. Is like, yeah. Dude, the only thing you do is kick. That's it. You don't put yourself in harm's way. You don't make tackles. You don't get hit. So when you're asked to kick a field goal, especially if it's less than 50 or if it's in the 50-yard range nowadays, you know, anything less than 55, you know, we expect you to make the damn thing. And so, you know, you can miss one every now and again, but you miss three in a game, and, yeah, everybody wants to kick you right in the yarbles. That's how they feel.
Yeah, and I appreciate yarbles. That's pretty good. It's like it's a mix between somebody's nuts and their marbles, and it actually could become part of my lexicon. Mark Schlereth here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners have really struggled on special teams, punt coverage, kickoff coverage, the aforementioned field goals, and the rest of it. For a team, when you have these kinds of struggles, where is it fair to put the blame? On the players, the special teams coordinator, the head coach, or all the above?
Yeah, I mean, I think oftentimes it's a bunch of different things, you know. Like, there will be times where, you know, maybe you're not getting enough hang time on a punt. And, you know, you kind of, quote-unquote, outkick your coverage. You might have a couple issues with blocking. So you take some of the speedy guys, some of the DB type of guys, you exchange them for linebackers, and the linebackers don't run and cover as well, you know. So a lot of those, there's a lot of little nuanced things when it comes to playing special teams. And then oftentimes, you know, if you have a couple injuries or some things happen to you, you know, all of a sudden you got to put a starter on there. So there's a lot of nuance to special teams. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, I was not going to make the NFL. I actually covered kicks as a rookie during my rookie preseason. And so I was R1 at 285 pounds running down R1 on kickoff cover. And nobody blocked me the first time I ever ran down on kickoff. And I'd never run down on kickoff cover. Like, when was I ever going to run down on kickoff cover? But I could run. And so they put me on kick cover because I was, you know, wedge buster, so to speak. And I ran down there, got an assist, got a wedge bust, you know, got like the whole 9 yards. And I thought I had made the team. Nobody blocked me because nobody thought, you know, 6'3", 285-pound offensive lineman was going to be able to run down there and make a play. Well, the next time I ran down, a little fullback, about 5'10", 240, circled and hit me right in the chin, ass over tea kettle. And at that point, I was like, worthless. I was like, if it comes to making special teams making this play, like, those dudes are straight up crazy. And I was like, yeah, I was the last guy down, man, head on a swivel. I was like, I'm never getting hit like that again. You can forget that. Like, I'm not making this team. They took me off about 2 games later. I played about 2 games of kick cover before I got pulled because I was done. Like, I ain't getting hit like that again, dude. Those dudes are absolutely insane. And so it takes a special breed to play special teams. We don't give enough credit to it on broadcasts or anything else. You know, the only time you see it is when it's a problem. But it's not all it's cracked up to be. I guarantee you that.
Mark Slareth with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Stink, if we're only going on the 9 games that we've watched this year, how would you grade the performance of Brock Purdy?
Oh, I think Brock Purdy's exceptional. I mean, I would give him, you know, I'd give him an A. I think he's playing really well. And obviously, you know, there's been so much with McCaffrey down and then, you know, and then the slow start. I mean, missing camp for Ayuk and the slow start and then the injury. And then, you know, you've missed time with Kittle and you've missed time with Juwan Jennings. And Debo has missed time. And so there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of kind of exchange there and different guys playing. And so, you know, and still being as productive as you've been, I'm a huge Purdy fan. I think he's a really good player. So, you know, again, continuity becomes so important. Timing and rhythm becomes so important. And a lot of things they do in San Francisco in regards to that offense is really all based off the timing and the rhythm of that run game. And the play action stuff, and it's precise, you know, from, you know, how you want to run routes, where you want to break those routes off at, the way you're faking a block, you're stock blocking a guy and then you're getting beyond them and all the things that they do exceptionally well. And that stuff takes timing and rhythm. And that's where Purdy is so good at the timing and rhythm of that stuff. And if you bring in a bunch of different guys that haven't played, you know, it's hard to recreate that on a consistent basis. So they've lacked some consistency there, which has led to some turnovers and some, you know, inefficiency in the red zone. But I'm a huge Purdy fan. I think he's really good.
Are you starting to see that rhythm a little bit more cemented now that Ricky Pearsall has played a few games and McCaffrey's back and certainly the connection that he's had with George Kittle?
Yeah, that and Juwan Jennings on third downs. Juwan's one of my, you know, guilty pleasure players that I love watching play because, one, I think he's a really good player. Two, I just think he's nasty. He's a tone setter, and he just doesn't try to block people. He tries to hurt people, and I personally like that from a wide receiver, and there's not a whole lot of them that'll do it. So he's just one of those guys off the ball, you know, when it comes to a route that's not coming his way. You know, I'll tend to watch guys like that and go, wow, look at, you know, look at, like the block he threw on this run, or look at, you know, look at how he's running this route. He's not a, you know, he's not a primary on this route, but he's running it, you know, for the love of the game route. He's just running it because he loves football and he loves opening other guys up. And so he's a guy that I really like to watch and that I really think is a good player.
Hey, Mark, just because we saw them last night, your ties to the organization as well. I really went from thinking I loved what Washington was doing, but I think they're a year away. And then a couple weeks ago, I'm like, oh, wait, I think they're going to win the division now. And now after the last few weeks, I'm like, no, I'm back to they're still a year away. What's your take?
Yeah, I think defensively, I think they're playing their butts off with, you know, with kind of marginal talent. They've got some issues from just a pure talent standpoint. They went out and got Marshawn Lattimore, which will help some of that. But of course, he's had the hamstring; he hasn't played the last 2 weeks. So, like, I think what they're doing defensively is pretty incredible, considering kind of where they were. And you know, I've talked to Dan Quinn about it. So, like, I've called a couple of games. They're not where they need to be. They know that. But you know, there's some non-negotiables when you play for Dan Quinn. That's playing hard. That's playing with effort. And that's, you know, playing smart football. And I thought they did that for the most part last night, you know, until they were just worn out in the fourth quarter. But I think what you saw in that game is there's a discrepancy from the top one or the top tier talent of the Philadelphia Eagles and where Washington comes in right now. I think the other thing you saw is a quarterback in Jaden Daniels who that rib injury is still affecting him. And he can't do the things that he has done early in the season. They can't run him on the read zone stuff. They can't run him on some of the design QB runs. He doesn't scramble as effectively as he did. And there was a couple of deep throws, you know, intermediate to deep throws that he tried to pull last night that he dirted. And that to me is 100%, you know, 100% because of that rib injury. And so I think that's hindering their offense. And that's a big part of this offense because I think after Terry McLaurin, and, you know, I think they've got good running backs, but I don't think there's anybody else that really threatens the defense. And if you look at last night, McLaurin had one catch. Deami Brown had one catch. Zacchaeus had one catch. And their other wide receiver, the name is Noah Brown, also had one catch. So their four receivers combined for four catches, no more than 10 yards on any one of them. It was 10-10. 4 and 4 yards. So everything was a dump off, which was to me part of the game plan because he's really struggling throwing the ball because of that rib. So, you know, they're limited talent wise from a top tier team. And now all of a sudden the one thing that's made them a super dynamic and offense that you have to contend with, their quarterback's hurt. They can't do a bunch of stuff that they'd like to do with him.
On the other side, you have a Philly team at 8-2, and Mark and I talked last year about them being 10-1, and my partner said they're a fraud at 10-1, and he proved to be right. Is this 8-2 a little bit more real with more staying power than last year's Philly team?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think one, Jalen Carter is playing exceptionally well on the front. You know, the front four is playing well. I think their three corners, like this is crazy. But Darius Slay is their third best corner. Like that Quentin Mitchell, he may be, or however you say his first name is.
Quinyon, I think. Yeah. Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah.
Mitchell, I think Mitchell is maybe one of the better corners, cover corners I've watched play this year. And I think that DeJean is really good. By the way, Iowa has cornered the market on white cornerbacks. DeJean is playing his ass off. The kid Riley Moss up in Denver's playing his ass off. I don't know what it's tight ends and white corners. Like if you want to become a tight end or a white cornerback, you got to go to Iowa. That's the only place in the world you can go and develop that because that's what Iowa does. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Maryland crab cakes, you know, it's like football crab cakes. That's what Maryland does. Tight ends and white corners. That's what Iowa does.
Might be my favorite take
it's
ever.
A good take, yeah.
It's a recruiting pitch at the very least for Iowa.
Instead of Kansas sure. State being KSU, they could be KSU, be Kittle, Seahorn, U. That's basically,
nice.
Those are the faces of it. Hey, great stuff today, Stink. Thank you so much for coming on as always.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great night.
There he goes. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious.